إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, I have just returned from a fairly long trip to Assam and to Central India, getting acquainted with the rhinos in Kaziranga and so on. And in that trip, one of the unexpected things that happened was that I was asked to participate in a function that was organized to distribute various kinds of aids to handicapped people. I know the term handicapped is no longer politically correct to use, and the term they have now, that is now used, is differently abled. We don't say handicapped, we say differently abled. But which also leads me to the, on a side note, to ask this question, that unless that term differently abled is being used with genuine understanding and appreciation and respect and a knowledge of what is that different ability. Otherwise, it's one of these, it's a new trend that we, just by giving something a name, we take away from it, we think that we are doing it a favor, you know, we take away the sting from it. So when you say differently able, and if I ask you the question, how would you like to exchange your abilities for the ability of that person, right, then that's the test of truth. So if a blind person is not handicapped but is differently abled, how would you like to exchange that different ability with your eyesight? So I think one must be clear about using these terms and use them with respect and with understanding. So anyway, I was invited, and we were invited, the people who were with me, to this gathering, which was, they were distributing different kinds of aids to these people, you know, wheelchairs and hearing aids and various and braille books and so on. And that function, the local MLA was there, and Abdul Rahim Ajmal was there, and the district collector was there, and so on. And as happens, for reasons best known to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, I was asked to speak at this function. So I spoke, and I want to share with you what I said. I spoke about the issue of being human. What is it that distinguishes humans from other mammals? It's definitely not our physical characteristics, unless we look at them in terms of having the least strength and the least of everything. A hippopotamus runs slightly faster than Usain Bolt, so speed is not what we have. Any house cat can jump, leap higher than the best, or leap higher and longer than the best Olympic athlete, and so on. So it's not an issue of physical things. What distinguishes us humans, or should distinguish us from other mammals, is our humanity. What distinguishes us is our humanity. It's not our physical, or even for that matter, our mental abilities, but it's our humanity. And how do we define humanity? I define humanity as that state where you feel the pain that somebody else is feeling. Although that taklif, that irritation, or that stimulation is not actually happening to you, but you feel that other person's pain. So in this particular case, here is a blind person, and though I am not blind, there is something in my heart which makes me feel, what is it that this person must be going through, and therefore I would like to help them in whatever way that I can. Humanity is the tendency, the ability, the quality to feel the pain of others. This is what distinguishes us, and therefore we take steps to alleviate that pain, to alleviate that suffering. This also relates to the issue of justice and injustice. And as they say, injustice will never end until those that are not affected by it stand up against it. Injustice will not end until those that are not affected by it stand up against it. And that is the only time when it will happen, because people who are being oppressed, who has to stand up for them? People who are not being oppressed. People who are being oppressed, obviously, also they will, you know, they will fight for it and so on. But people who are not being oppressed, they have to stand up against oppression, even though it is not directly affecting them. So it's not a question of saying, why are you saying anything? What's your problem? My problem is that there is a problem for somebody else. And that's why we say that injustice to one is injustice to all. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Somebody mentioned this and they said, this is something modern. I said, this is something very ancient, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said exactly the same thing, where he said that when the head pains, he said the ummah is like one body. When the head pains, the whole body feels the pain. And in another place he said that the sense of being in the ummah is that what happens to one person is the concern of the whole ummah, and what happens to the whole ummah is the concern of every individual. Now the word ummah, as we know, is in the context of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is applied not only to the Muslims, because the ummatul ijabat and the ummatul da'wat is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is that every human being on the face of the earth is an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether or not he accepts him as the Prophet. So he is an ummati anyway. So when this term ummah is used, this term ummah is inshallah used in the greatest and biggest sense that there is, which is to say that it is our job to feel the pain of anyone who feels pain. So this is what I said there, and I repeat that here, to say that what is it that distinguishes human beings from other mammals, that is their humanity. And the reason I'm saying that is that this is something that we need to take a spot check on for ourselves and say, where is my humanity? Do I still have it? Do I not have it? Is it in decline? Is it in ascendance? What is the state of my humanity? What do I need, therefore, to do about that? We subsequently in the travels, we were driving through Kanha National Park and deep in the forest, when we found two ladies. One would have been in her probably 40s, and the other one would have been close to 70. Two ladies walking alone, meaning just the two of them, on the road. So the forest guide, he said, do you mind if we give them a lift? I said, of course, please go ahead. So we asked them, they got into the car. So we said, where are you? This lady says that she needs to go to the hospital. One of them needs to go to the hospital. They live in a village. The nearest hospital is 15 kilometers through the forest. The forest has tigers, it has leopards, it has all kinds of things. 15 kilometers. The woman is sick and she has to walk 15 kilometers through the forest. Can you imagine? Ajib. This is this dunya as we live here. And I'm thinking to myself that what I spent on that one jeep drive will keep that family going for God knows how many months. May Allah protect us from ourselves. Walking alone through the forest. They have no weapons, no nothing. And if you look at them, they are just alive. In the sense of, skinny like anything. Not because they are on some great diet. They are skinny because they have no food. Now if you see their fields, I was talking to the guide afterward, because they're local people. So I asked them, what do you plant and so on. He said, sir, we asked this lady. The lady said, there is no one in the house, it's just the two of us. And she said, I had two sons. One of them left here and went to work somewhere. And then वो गुजरात में ख़त्म हो गया. शी सेड ही डाइड इन गुजरात. नाउ आई डोंट नो व्हाट दैट मीन्स. आई डिड नॉट हैव द करेज टू आस्क हर मोर डिटेल्स बिकॉज शी इज़ द मदर. द सेकेंड वन टिल्स देयर फील्ड. वी आस्क देम व्हाट डू दे गेट. दे गेट व्हीट बिकॉज दे डोंट हैव मनी वाटर टू प्लांट राइस. सो दे गेट वन क्रॉप इन द ईयर. दे गेट व्हीट And in a good year, that wheat is enough to feed that family for the year. Feed the family means what? Do you eat only wheat? Quite literally, they have to plant, and then in the hot season when there is no agriculture, the man and the woman, they go to work on construction sites and this and that. I said, why do you need to go to work? She says, wo namak ka aur sabji ka paisa milta hai. With that money, they are able to buy some salt and they are able to buy some vegetables for curry to eat with the roti, to eat with the wheat. Ajeeb. I am telling you, I was telling Hyderabad that to experience, to actually experience that poverty, you have to be born into it. You can't experience. If you think that you can go and live in that village for a week or a month, or send your children to go and live there for a day or day or two in those huts, that you will experience the poverty, you will not. Because poverty is the absence of hope. Poverty is the absence of options. It's not a hut. Poverty is not a hut. People like me go and live in huts because we like to live in huts. And we pay a lot of money to go and live in huts. Where is the question of poverty? Is not a hut. Poverty is the absence of choice. It is the absence of options. It is the absence of dignity. It is the absence of hope. And there's not one or two people. There are thousands and upon thousands and millions upon millions of people who are living in that state of want. And what is amazing is that to take them out of that state of want is so easy. It's not difficult. It is very, very easy. Every single one of us who is sitting here and who will listen to that, to this further reminder on a smartphone, is someone who can alleviate not one, but tens of hundreds of families from that kind of grinding poverty. I truly understood the meaning of the term grinding poverty. That's a term in the English language, grinding. I always thought, why do you say grinding poverty? Because it grinds you, completely grinds you into dust. Anyone can treat you any way they want if you are poor. Anyone. You have no dignity, you have no self-respect, no one gives you any izzah. Anyone can treat you any way they want. Anyone cannot treat me any way they want. If they do, they will discover what it means. By the look of it, they don't. Just the way you conduct yourself, just the way you walk, just the way you hold your head, just the kind of clothes you wear, people know what to say and how to say. And if they exceed that boundary, then they discover the result of that. Not with poor people. This is what Islam came to remove. Islam came to teach humans the meaning of humanity. This is what Islam. Islam didn't come to teach you some theology. The theology is the foundation on which this is based. But Islam came to teach humans the meaning of humanity. And that is where it began. And that is the reason why in famous hadith in Bukhari and others, Sahih hadith, where they said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us Iman before he taught us Quran. He said he taught us Iman before he taught us Quran. What is Iman? Iman is the issue of accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every one of us is accountable. We are accountable directly or we are accountable indirectly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what we say and do. And that is the whole issue of humanity, is to understand and accept this accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The animal does not understand accountability. The animal does not feel the pain of the other, except for, unless it's its own child or something. Other than that, there is no extension of pain for each other. But not humans. Humans are humans because we have this quality. And therefore, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to live with this quality, to help us to understand this, and to help us to live our lives in a way where when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will not be held accountable for things like this. So let us make the effort to try to alleviate as much suffering in the world as we can. And believe me, it's right next to your house. You don't have to go to where I went. It's right next to your house. There are people in need. Do what you can to help them. Do whatever you can to help them. And when you start doing it, you realize the pleasure that you get out of it. It's not, you're not doing them a favor. They are doing you a favor by being there, and Allah has done a favor by keeping them there in so that we can experience this joy of giving. And then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave us and put us in a position where we can give, we have to give. We ask Allah for His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.